Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The topic for today is my annual Back to Government School program, where we again look at the scourge of the American public education system. And there are two great crimes being committed by government schools today. First, it's no small thing that God, in God's truth, has been expelled from public schools. The public may take this for granted, but this is not only a violation of the First Amendment of our Constitution, guaranteeing the right to freedom of religion, but this is also a national repudiation of Jesus Christ. And America has become no different from the old Soviet state, where if you mention Jesus Christ or his truth in the schools, you will be fired and or hauled off to jail. What would the founders of America think if they saw an America where teachers were not allowed to pray or read the Bible to students? Here's a question. What is the greatest problem in America today? Many would say terrorism. Others would say the economic downturn, racism. Social conservatives would say abortion or the LGBT movement. But I believe that the greatest problem in America, the greatest travesty of justice, is this gag order on Jesus Christ in public schools. Why do I say this? Because the reason we have abortion and gender confusion and economic problems, even Islamic terrorism, is because we have thrown the teaching of Christ out of public education. So that now, after a generation of anti-God public education, we have in this nation a biblically illiterate pagan people. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Colossians 2, 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. The minds of our youth have been spoiled. If I were the devil and I wanted to take over the country, I would first take over the schools. You could have the government, you could have the media, you could have the businesses, you could have the money. Just give me control over the education of the young people, and no matter what you do, I will eventually win the culture. Because as the schools go, so goes the culture. And if Christians want to fix all of the social and economic evils in our society, the way to do it is by putting our efforts into breaking the secular humanist, state-funded monopoly on education and bring Christ back into the schools. And the reason the left is always winning the culture war is because they have the schools. And there's no turning America back until we free the schools from secular humanism. And this leads me to the second crime of public schools. First, the prohibiting of Christianity, but second, the state monopoly on education. This is just as much a moral issue. We are being forced to pay for secular education through our tax dollars. We're being forced to pay tithe to the Church of Humanism. And this is an unjust and unfair infringement on religious liberty. It goes against everything America was founded upon. But this is the only way the left can get empowerment, through the authority of government forcing people to hand over their money. Now, there are many angles at which we can address the public school problem. Today, I want to address just one aspect. And that is the people in America willingly putting up with the injustice of the public school monopoly when they could have so much more freedom and prosperity in school choice. The public is putting up with the government school status quo. And that in itself addresses a very important biblical truth. How natural unsaved people would rather suffer, but be able to hide from God in sin, rather than to be blessed and have the presence of God. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Even if it was the better path. I'm going to tell you a shocking, surprising fact. If rather than having a public school monopoly, the state of New Jersey gave each student a voucher to pay for private education, homeowners in New Jersey would not pay a dime in property tax for schools. That's how much savings there would be. New Jersey property taxes are the third highest in the nation, and the vast majority of our property taxes go toward the funding of public schools. So that if education in New Jersey was privatized, a homeowner in the state of New Jersey who is now paying $8,000 a year in property taxes would be paying somewhere around $1,500 in property taxes. Let me explain how this works. The average New Jersey public school cost of educating students, K through 12th grade on average, is $19,652 a year, way above the cost of private school. And places like Asbury Park are designated as Abbott districts, and they get special aid from the state so that Asbury spends $40,000 a year on each student. As Governor Christie recently said, pouring money into urban schools hasn't worked because they're still failing schools. Now, throughout the state, not all of this education cost is paid for through property tax. The state takes money from New Jersey income tax and New Jersey sales tax and gives it to municipalities for school funding. About 40% of our state budget goes toward education. $9.1 billion. So if the state took that $9 billion and divided it up among the students in New Jersey, it would come out to $7,000 per student. And that's a surprising figure. Because one might think that the state was only contributing $1,000 or $500, and that the rest came from property taxes. But the state is contributing $7,000 per student on average. Now, the tuition for just about every Christian school in the state is about $7,000 a year. So if all the people in the state of New Jersey sent their children to private Christian education, local school property taxes could be completely eliminated. We could fund all of the education in New Jersey just off the sales tax alone. And can you imagine everyone's property taxes in New Jersey dropping by 80%? Now, of course, someone might say, that's Christian private education, where the teachers are living on poverty salaries. It could never work if every student went to a private Christian school. Well, guess how much it costs to educate public school students in Utah? $6,500. In Oklahoma, $7,600. In North Carolina, $8,300. In Idaho, $6,800. In Arizona, $7,200. And those are public schools. Their facilities are just fine. Their teachers are adequately compensated. And many of those states have higher test scores than New Jersey. It is possible for a private school to educate for about $7,000 per student, Christian or otherwise. But okay, let's say eliminating public schools altogether would be too much too fast. Let's instead keep the public schools, but let's give students the option to go to private schools, and the state would give the student a voucher of $7,000. Immediately, the property taxes in New Jersey would drop substantially, and every year thereafter, even if only a quarter of the students in New Jersey chose private school. Now, for years, Christian activists in the state of New Jersey have been trying to get the state to break up the public school monopoly. and let the money follow the child. Governor Christie recently came out with a proposal calling for an overhaul in the school funding system. And again, the state spends about $7,000 per student on average. But in reality, most of that money goes to the Abbott districts, the inner city districts. Of the $9 billion spent by the state, $5 billion goes to just 31 school districts, and $4 billion goes to 546 school districts. And that angers many municipalities, because the cities are getting a free ride at the expense of the townships. And it's not as if only rich people live in the townships. Why should the people living in the city get a free ride? $40,000 is being spent per student in Asbury Park, while in the township of Old Bridge, which has property taxes at least 2 to 4 times that of Asbury, they can only spend $18,000 per student. So Christie proposed that the entire $9 billion in state aid to public schools be divided evenly among every student in the state, which amounts to $7,000 per student. And that $7,000 per student is more than enough money to help the so-called poorer Abbott districts. And as you would expect, there was an outcry against Christie's proposal. So the governor is trying to get legislators to put his plan on the ballot in 2017. It would be an amendment to the state constitution, requiring state funding to be divided equally among each student. So here's the question. If breaking up the state monopoly on education would save taxpayers so much money and would allow students in failing public schools to get a decent private school education of their choice, why isn't it being done? It seems like an economic no-brainer. And it's religious freedom, justice for all. I mean, even President Obama sends his children to private schools. They don't go to the public schools in Washington, D.C. Why not? Because we have two classes in America. The rich and the powerful who go to private schools, who wouldn't even dream of putting their children where the lower castes of society go. And the poor and the middle class who must send their children to the state institutions. So why do we put up with it? The extra expense, the injustice. And why is it when you go to the leaders of our society and to the people and say, we could cut your property taxes in half and give your children a better education, they refuse to listen? And the answer to that question is not simply a matter of public education policy. It's a spiritual lesson. God's prophets spoke to ancient Israel, and they showed the people that God's way was better. But the people would not receive it, even if it meant a better life. Again, Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths. Wherein is the good way, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Isaiah 28:12, he said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen. Isaiah 30:15, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. Jeremiah 18:11, O turn back each one of you from his evil way and reform your ways and your deeds. But they said, it's hopeless. For we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you are unwilling. Now, these verses apply to many wrong paths chosen by unbelievers, but also to the specific subject of today's program. It defies logic. why the left would rather keep children in crime-ridden, overpriced, failing public schools than to allow parents to choose private education. It would save taxpayers billions. It would provide better education. So get a pen out right now and write down your response. Why does the left refuse to consider school choice? Let me give you my four reasons. First, unbelief. The left does not believe privatization will result in better results in the long term. They're afraid teachers will be underpaid, that competition in education would put undue pressure on students and faculty, that there would be inequities between private schools, and that it's necessary for the state to create a level playing field. But the facts are the facts. And the facts show that private education is economically more efficient and produces a better product than government schools. Would you rather have the government build your car or private free market industry build your car? Would you rather drive a Russian Volga or a Chevy Impala? That is, if you could ever get a Russian Volga being on a 10-year waiting list. A second reason for the left defending government schools is this ideology of socialism. The left's undying loyalty to state education is ideological, not practical. And this is the root reason for point number one, why they refuse to believe in the benefits of private education. Because it's a belief in socialism, which is a deep-seated trust in the power of government to level the inequities of life. It's a deep-seated opposition to the possibility of anyone getting some advantage, even if it means the majority is worse off. It's a deep-seated desire for the government to take one's personal responsibilities and to provide personal security. As is often said, at the root of socialism is government taking the place of God for those who have no God. And so no matter how many facts prove the benefit of private education, the left wants big government monopoly no matter what the cost. They would rather pay four times the cost in education as long as the government's doing it. A third reason for the irrationality of the public school monopoly is that there is a small but very powerful minority of secular ideologues who know that if public education went private, it would be very difficult to keep God out of our children's education. These private schools will teach creationism rather than Darwinism. Do you think this matters to some people? Check the news stories over the last 20 years. When public schools across the nation tried to introduce creation science, the left went into attack mode and shut it all down. There is an ungodly secular motive behind the public school movement. Now, for the vast majority of people, the motive for maintaining the public school monopoly is my fourth reason, selfishness and greed. There are 2,500 government schools in New Jersey. It's the largest business in New Jersey. There are 114,000 state-employed teachers in the state of New Jersey. And that's not including the administration, the maintenance staff, the lunchroom staff, the busing, the athletic staff, and all of those people vote. And they have spouses and friends and relatives who vote. And these thousands of people have the NJEA, the New Jersey Teachers Union, which owns a huge complex across the street from the Trenton State House, along with 22 regional offices. And they employ a staff of hundreds. 200,000 teacher union members paying an average of $1,000 a year in dues. And the NJEA works full-time to lobby legislators and to put campaign donations into the coffers of legislators who vote their way. So the public school establishment is an army of 250,000 people in the state of New Jersey who will do anything to keep their jobs and keep their power from being threatened. I'm not talking about every single public school employee, but the vast majority. And it's very easy to justify a policy when that policy happens to provide you a paycheck. Principled biblical Christians do what is best for others and do what's morally right, regardless of how it affects them. They will even put themselves out of a job if that job is unjust or if that job is an unfair monopoly over others. But unprincipled people do what's best for themselves. They turn a blind eye toward alternatives that might help other people. Now, it's not that they consider themselves first 100% of the time. They just consider themselves first 50% of the time. And that's all that it takes to justify a self-serving policy. And the rest of the public, no matter how much they hate the higher taxes and the unfairness of the public school monopoly, they're not able to overcome the power of this ever-growing entrenched bureaucracy. They might have been able to nip it in the bud 50 years ago, but now there are too many people living off of the state. I want to again quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn and his critique of communist Russia. I know I've been quoting from Solzhenitsyn a lot lately, but after studying his work this summer, it's impossible not to share many of his comments. Here's a chapter in the Gulag Archipelago called "Why Did We Stand for It?" In other words, how could the Russian people sit idle while a quarter of the population was taken off to Soviet labor camps? Why didn't the prisoners rebel? Why didn't the prison guards refuse to obey their orders? Well, in short, too many people were dependent upon the Communist Party. They didn't want to speak up and lose their job and their safety. You see, in communism, not just the teachers are state employees, but everyone. And that's the goal of statists, to get everyone to work for the state so nobody will be able to break the state's power. The more people on social welfare, the more people getting their income through the state and their benefits through the state, the more state power becomes unbreakable. Solzhenitsyn writes, the people could not sacrifice their families, their positions, their wages, their author fees. They had too much to lose. The story is often told of Vladimir Lenin, that he gave his party leaders an object lesson. He took a live chicken and ripped out its feathers. And then he held out his hand with birdseed, and the chicken, still alive and bloodied, went to feed out of Stalin's hand, the same hand that tortured the animal. And Lenin said to his party leaders, "This is the way we deal with the people." And this is what eventually happens to a nation populated with unprincipled people. They suffer more and more because each of them is looking out for themselves and making selfish decisions rather than obeying the higher principles of God's word. Solzhenitsyn writes that the prisoners in Russia could not rebel against their captors because it would do no good, because they did not have the public opinion in their favor. He writes, the reason we put up with it all in the camps is that there was no public opinion outside. The only reason the jailers would have any cause for fear would be public opinion. But it was silent. There were no outbursts of public indignation. Without public opinion behind us, we can protest and fast as much as we like, and they will only laugh in our faces. And so the only way to change public opinion in America is not through politics, but by grassroots evangelism and conversion. The gospel has to change hearts one by one. I'd like to close with one story Solzhenitsyn shares to illustrate what it means to stand for God's principles, regardless of personal cost. Solzhenitsyn shares that while he was in one labor camp, he ran into a former Russian school teacher who had come to faith in Christ, Anatol Vasilyevich. He had 3 years before his release. It seemed rather improbable that ex-prisoners like us would be allowed into the schools to teach. But if we were, what then? Anatole said, "I won't put lies into children's heads. I shall tell the children the truth about God and the life of the Spirit." Solzhenitsyn said, "But they'll take you away after the first lesson." Anatole lowered his head and answered quietly, "Let them." And it was obvious that he would not falter. He would not play the hypocrite just to go on handling a class register in a Soviet school rather than a pickaxe in a prison camp. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or other past programs. That's godandcountryradio.org. Send me an email with questions, comments, or insights. I'd love to hear from you. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us, your people, learn to live by your truth rather than our own welfare. And as you have taught us that in losing our lives, it is then that we will find our lives and be blessed for all eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.